Hey, good morning. Good Sunday morning, Sower Nation. It is September the 28th in the year of our Lord, 2025. I'm John David Walt, and this is your wake-up call. We finish the first leg of the Tour de Gospels Super Marathon today, Matthew chapter 28. It's been nice to have the day correspond with the chapter, hasn't it? Well, that's all about to end today, as we'll go into Mark chapter 1 tomorrow on September the 29th. So there's that. But we are headed to church today, and it's time to dive into consecration. We're preparing for practice today. You ready? Wake up, sleeper. Rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Jesus, I belong to you. I lift up my heart to you. I set my mind on you. I fix my eyes on you. I offer my body to you as a living sacrifice. Jesus, we belong to you. And we're praying in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, our title of our entry today is called Why the Resurrection is the Gospel. And our text is Matthew chapter 28, verses 16 through 20. Hear now the word of the Lord. Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. And when they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always, to the end of the age." The word of the Lord. Now consider this. The crucifixion of Jesus of Nazareth is easily the most public execution in the history of the world. It has been witnessed by billions of people the world over, thanks to the eyewitness accounts recorded in these four historical documents we now read together, the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Throughout the 20 intervening centuries since, people have refuted the divine identity of Jesus and his significance to history and eternity. But no serious claim can stand which denies the historicity of his life and public witness to his death. All that said, we are not waking up 89 days in a row and reading the Gospels because of Jesus' claims to divine status. His extraordinary teachings, his documented miracles, or even his scandalously unjust public execution. We are reading the Gospels, and as a consequence, the whole Bible, because of this sentence. The angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He has risen. Just as he said, come and see the place where he lay. We are reading the Gospels, and as a consequence, the whole Bible, because of this sentence. Suddenly, Jesus met them. "Greetings," he said. They came to him, clasped his feet, and worshiped him. We are reading the Gospels, and as a consequence, the whole Bible, because of this sentence. Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them, and when they saw him, they worshiped him. Are you getting the point here? The resurrection is the gospel. No resurrection, no gospel. Great teacher, miracle worker, prophet, martyr. In the resurrection, we behold the God of gods dealing death to death. In his resurrection from the dead, Jesus defeated the curse of death and destroyed the power of sin. As a result, Christian discipleship is the comprehensive operationalizing of the life, teaching, miraculous love, wonder-working power, death, resurrection, and ascension of Jesus Christ. As a result, we here on the wake-up call are reading the Gospels. And as a consequence, the whole Bible, because of this sentence, "Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you." Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you for the Gospels, which tell us the true story of you and reveal to us the power of the gospel. You are risen from the dead. You have defeated death and destroyed the power of sin. Would you take this fact from the realm of doctrine and make it the subject and source of my daily life? Come, Holy Spirit, and operationalize the resurrection of Jesus Christ in my life, top to bottom, inside and out. Praying in Jesus' name. Amen. Our journal prompts today. Is the resurrection of Jesus Christ the comprehensive reality of your life, or still merely a part of your belief system? How is your life being fueled by resurrection power? That's the question. How is your life being fueled by resurrection power? I love that in Ephesians where Paul is praying for us. He's praying that the eyes of our hearts will be opened so that we can know him better. That's the first thing. That we can understand the glorious inheritance that we have in the saints. And then the third piece. And he says, so that we can know the incomparably great power for us who believe. He said, it is the same power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead. you know, it's just so easy to reduce the gospel to just sort of like believing, just assenting to the truth of the proposition that Jesus is raised from the dead. And yeah, I believe it, right? The Bible says if you believe in your heart that Jesus is Lord and confess with your lips that God raised him from the dead, you are saved. Okay, full stop. Believe it. But the Christian life isn't just about accepting this as the truth. That's the bottom end of it. You see, when Jesus is raised from the dead, it's not just like, well, he just proved that he's God. I mean, he didn't have to prove he was God. He is God. But what he did is he won. He defeated the great enemy, which is death, right? God created human beings immortal. He created us in his own image. He gave us the superpower of immortality, of eternal life. And when we turned away from God, when we sinned, when we chose to sort of effectively not believe God. You see, sin is not a behavior. It's an unbelieving heart. That's what happened in the Garden of Eden. They stopped. They didn't believe God, what God said. If you eat this the fruit from this tree, you will surely die. They didn't believe it. Because see, we weren't made to surely die. Human beings are carrying divinity. We are carrying the very image of God. A human being is a vast creature, a little lower than the angels, the Bible says. We're a phylum beneath angels. And we're crowned, it says, with glory and honor. That's Psalm 8. This is how I say it to our church. I started saying it to our kids, and then I just started saying it to our whole church. I'm like, repeat after me. I am an unbelievable, inconceivable, unrepeatable miracle of God. That's the t-shirt I want to make. I am an unbelievable. Say it with me. I am an unbelievable, inconceivable, unrepeatable miracle of God. And you understand when we sinned, and I put us all the way back there in the garden, wasn't us personally, but it was us corporately. They sinned, it accrued to us. We inherited the debt and we added to the interest. We lost our status as sort of like image. The image of God was not destroyed in us, it was decimated. And so our relationship with God was broken, and we lost the connection because we were made to have intimate fellowship, abiding, like we're directly connected to God. Okay, are you picking this up? We are made, there's the inmost being in us. I call it the flux capacitor. We are made to interface divine communion with God all the time. That's what we're made for. But that got lost. And so Jesus came. And what happened is we were destined to die. We were destined to sin and destined to die. That was the cost of the unbelief of the human heart. And Jesus came to turn all of that around. And every step of his life, every deed, every gesture, every word was about turning it around. He turns everything around. And finally, you know, sin, the cost of sin is blood. And sin, when sin entered the world, death entered the world. And of course, sin is just going askew We just have sin so moralized in behavioral categories. It's far worse than that. It's like a cancer that just destroys us from the inside out. Jesus brings the cure. He turns it around. He gives us the cure. The chemotherapy for the cancer of sin is the blood of Jesus. And he took our sin on himself, right? He took our debt. He paid our debt. He cured our cancer. And he died our death. And then the great, 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 great miracle is he rose from the dead, not resuscitated. No, he actually crushed, he destroyed death and turned it into life. He actually came, he resurrected, and he entered into resurrection life as a human being. He ascended into the heavens where he remains a human being, physically embodied, carrying resurrection life, relating to every single one of us who follow him, who put our faith in him. We become alive with the life of Jesus by the power of the Holy Spirit. That's the thing. He sends the Holy Spirit, turns the lights back on, and it's game on. That's the church. I don't think we really get this at all. I think I barely get it at all. But like now, I mean, every single person you pass is an unbelievable, inconceivable, unrepeatable miracle of God. But the lights have to be turned back on for that to be activated, realized. That's what salvation is. It's the restoration of life. That's what the resurrection does. We got to open ourselves up to this. The resurrection has got to be far more than a doctrinal claim. That's the base, the baseline. It's got to become a way of life, a active, living, movemental power of God coursing through our very body and our bodies together. That's the gospel. And we go about, and everything he did, we can do in time. That's what discipleship is, operationalizing the life of Jesus, the power of the Holy Spirit, the retrofitting of a human being with eternal life. That's what discipleship is. I'm just preaching now, and it's Sunday, and we got to sing. We're going to sing one of my favorite songs. It's an Easter song. I'm not going to go full court Easter on it like I do on Easter, which you'll have to wait to hear if you haven't heard it already. It's number 252. Okay, 252. I feel like faith is rising up in people today. I think they're just opening up to some categories that really weren't quite opened yet. It's number 252. I call it Up From the Grave He Arose. The official title is Lo, In the Grave He Lay. That's not a good title. Lo, In the Grave He Lay. No, Up From the Grave He Arose is the title. Are you ready? All three verses. Lo, in the grave he lay. Jesus, my Savior, waiting the coming day. Jesus, my Lord, up from the grave he arose with a mighty triumph for his foes. He arose a victor from the dark domain, and he lives forever with his saints to reign. He arose. He arose, hallelujah, Christ arose. Vainly they watch his bed, Jesus my Savior. Vainly they seal the dead, Jesus my Lord. Up from the grave he arose, with a mighty triumph for his foes. He arose a victor from the dark domain, and he lives forever with his saints to reign. He arose, hallelujah, Christ arose. Last verse. Death cannot keep its prey. Jesus, my Savior, He tore the bars away. Jesus, my Lord. Let's go all in now. Up from the grave He arose with a mighty triumph for His foes. He arose a victor from the dark domain, and He lives forever with His saints to reign. He arose, He arose. Hallelujah, Christ arose. Amen. I just felt like I was singing into some souls today. I felt like the Spirit was just breathing life through us in that singing. Guys, the resurrection, it's the upending of everything broken. And He is in us. He was not raised. He is risen. He was raised, okay? But we don't say it like that. He is risen. This is not a, it is a fact of history, but it is a fact of reality, of present day, okay? It's not just a spiritual thing. No, this is comprehensive, touches every aspect of life, okay? I'm going to close by reminding you, you are an unbelievable, inconceivable, unrepeatable miracle of God. Rise up into that. Jesus is calling you. He's not calling you out. He's calling you up to rise into resurrection life. All right? Listen, get your seeds. We're going to church. I won't see you on the field today. I'm going to see you in church. If you want to come to Gillette Church, we're on YouTube, Gillette Methodist Church. Find us. It's going to be a good Sunday. I'll see you tomorrow, Monday. We'll be back here. Sunday's practice, remember? Big game, Monday, Tuesday, and so forth. For The Awakening, I'm J.D. Wall.